here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Davey Wills, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and patron crime, Scott Goble. Scotty, how are we doing this week?
You're doing very well, mate. We've had a full weekend up in Townsville with the Mass Nutrition Training Camp. So we smashed a few Northern Queenslanders up there and had a great time. Had a really good turnout for the seminar. So I'm back and ready to roll.
Heard you got a little bit delayed.
Yeah, I missed my flight on the Friday night. The flight was delayed in Melbourne and the connection in Brisbane I missed. So Virgin Airways put me up in a nice hotel and gave me some free food, and I made the most of that and missed the first training session. So Luke handled it all by himself as a professional would, and I jumped in at the seminar.
Excellent. So how many people did you have up there attending?
We had 8 in the training camp. We do sort of 4 per person. It was just me and Luke McNally. When we get Shembri on board, we do 12 in the training camp. And I don't know, it was 40-something for the seminar. It was a good turnout. Lots more women than usual, which was good to see.
Yeah, it's good. But, Scotty, we had some stuff going on around the bodybuilding community this week. We had, obviously, the Pittsburgh Pro, which had men's physique, where Mark Anthony kind of took that out. And most people thought he would go in there and take that title, being the Mr. Olympia champ in men's physique. But we also had a show over in Slovakia, which is the Mozzolani Pro, which I don't think many people actually knew was even on, which is pretty surprising. But we had, like, from what I've seen, I mean, in terms of the names and stuff, it looked like a good lineup. We had Samuel Haddad winning, but not with straight first. And we had a guy in second called Khalid. I mean, I'm not going to even try to pronounce his last name, Scotty. It's I have no idea, but he's from Kuwait. I saw a picture of him, and he got one first place vote, and he looked absolutely phenomenal from a picture I saw. And do you know what he actually looked like? He looked like, you know, the guy Atif Anwar, who competed in the, I think he's the under-100s at FedEx.
Oh, yeah.
He looked a lot like him, except, I mean, this sounds like I'm kind of bagging at Atif, but he looked like a blown-up version of him.
Just, yeah, right.
Very, very similar, just look, even like facially and stuff like that. So he looked absolutely insane, really nice shape. He obviously must have been a shorter dude. He's a photo by himself, but he just looked, you know, if you said he was 6 foot, you'd say he's Mr. Olympia type of thing. So very, very impressive look to his physique. In third, we had another guy who I've actually never heard of. It's Marian Campbell, who's from Slovakia, who actually only placed third by 1 point behind Khalid, which is pretty amazing. So he was on 8 points, and I've never heard of him, but I'm sure he'd actually look pretty impressive because he placed ahead of another really good bodybuilder in Mark Dugdale, who placed fourth, which is, I mean, we're seeing a few guys, you know, obviously Amit Sapir, who is kind of big raps on, he placed down in 10th, which is pretty amazing. Perhaps wasn't in quite his best condition there or something. But, I mean, we're seeing a lot of these, you know, there's quite a few US guys and stuff, and obviously Amit from Canada flying over these comps, which is probably a smart move. But we only really saw it in the 212s because they had a pro figure, a pro bikini, and a pro women's physique over there. And in the women's physique, we had 5 competitors, which, like you and I were saying before the interview, Scotty, Amy Fox could have gone in there and possibly won this show. So perhaps Amy should be looking at a few of these shows instead of maybe just the American ones. But, you know, the pro figure, we had about, I think we had 11. And in the pro bikini, we only had about, I think, about 7 or 8 competitors, none of which were from America. So I think some of these bikini girls, some of these figure and physique girls kind of missed out on a big opportunity here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, why are you going to jump up and do the Pittsburgh Pro if you're a second-tier bikini girl? If you can get over there and compete, because they had, you know, something like 4 of the top 6 of the Miss Olympia, I can't remember what the stat was, maybe 4 of the top 8 of the Miss Olympia bikini were on stage in the Pittsburgh Pro, so it was a super high caliber show, and, you know, realistically, you're not going to top all those best known names if you're just coming up through the ranks. So I think you know, it adds a real element of strategy to it. These lower level shows that are in remote parts of the world where you can sneak in and grab some points. And like you said, you know, how cool would it have been if Amy Fox went over there? You know, Renee Schmidt was relegated to the fourth call out in America. Maybe she would have been in that first call out and battling for a qualifying spot had she gone over there. So yeah, it's interesting. I think these smaller shows are going to grow as the competitors realize what opportunities lie in strange parts of the world.
Yeah, exactly. And well, we didn't have many. Like, we only had him there, 212, Mark Dugdale from the US. We had Amit Spear, obviously, from Canada. But there's a few other names in there as well. You remember Raul Jimenez, I think it's pronounced. He's from Spain. Yep. He was in there. Pierre Chamon, I think that's how you pronounce it. We've seen him before. He obviously competed there. So I think a lot of these 212 guys are actually from these you know, different countries and from Europe and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm seeing a few names I've seen in other shows actually in this show, which is quite interesting. And they normally compete in the US in the 212, so that's pretty interesting. But Scotty, we had, I mean, probably what's even a bigger talking point in the bodybuilding community is the Pittsburgh Pro, but not for necessarily the competition, but the guest poses. We had just as an all-star lineup. We had Kai Green, we had Big Ramy, we had Branch Warren, we had, I don't even know if Jay Cutler guest posed there or not, but we had Victor Martinez, we had Phil Heath, obviously Mr. Olympia. It was just I think there's about seven or eight guys that guest posed there that were all, you know, top guys. Dexter Jackson, just heaps of really good names. I mean, Scotty, looking at some of the video, I saw some video of it kind of was like Kai Green and Big Ramy kind of went head to head. And I mean, Big Ramy's 2 weeks out of a New York Pro, obviously holding a bit of water and whatnot. But for me, he looked behind. Did you see anything of Big Ramy?
Yeah, I did. It's only 2 weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Now.
Yeah, I'd be pretty nervous if I was him. I wouldn't want to look like that 2 weeks out, even watery. Branch Warren was really sharp as well. I heard he was doing the Dallas Europa show, which is only 1 week away, and I sure as hell wouldn't want to look like Branch really 1 week out. So I heard that. I can't remember where, so it may not be from a credible source. But I would say, judging by this guest post,
but the thing is, he was actually looking in better shape than he normally looks at in off-season. Normally, he's the most out of shape one, and he certainly wasn't here. But yeah, he definitely doesn't look anything like 1 week out.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. It's funny, they all look very watery.
All of them. But Kai Green, he was probably, I mean, even though, you know, like Big Rubber's competing in 2 weeks, I think Kai Green was in better condition.
Yeah, possibly. I thought Big Ramy was a standout, but again, a little bit of conditioning will give you an edge over your fellow guest posers. So Phil's probably one of the smoothest. He's certainly not one of the least impressive, but he's not nearly as impressive as when he's on the money. And, you know, in a much better condition, Kai Green and Big Ramy will, you know, look better than well and truly fully off-season Phil Heath. So that's always interesting, this guest posing. Kai made a lot of noise last year when he guest posed at this very show and destroyed everyone on stage. And then, you know, went on to claim second in the O and basically proved that it just doesn't matter how you look this far out. What matters is how you look on the day.
He's looking very, very impressive here again. Like, when you compare him and Phil Heath at this guest posing, like, if they were to judge it, he would absolutely destroy him with straight first. You know what I mean? Like, he looks that much better. He looks in better condition. He looks much bigger. I mean, obviously, you know, he's not been able to kind of, I suppose, really, I guess, hold that size, I mean, come in razor sharp condition or anything like that on the Olympia stage. But do you think he's going to put it together, you know, at least just one time on the Olympia stage?
No.
You don't think so?
No. No, I don't know. I just think he probably would have done it by now. Unless he's going to seek out some new guru, which he has absolute respect for and listens to 100%. I don't know. I don't think so. I think mentally, I don't think he's up for it. I don't think he could just be at his absolute best and win the Olympia. I just question his mental capacity to do that. I think he would sort of self-sabotage himself almost.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. What do you think of Victor Martinez? Did you see much of him?
Yeah, Victor looked okay. you know, he's definitely regained a bit of size. He was letting his belly hang out and whatever else, which wasn't overly impressive. He sort of lost in that lineup because he's not one of the sharpest. He's not one of the biggest. He probably had the most distended stomach out of everyone.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. But I think Victor, when he does compete next, I think he's going to be impressive. You know what I mean? But like you said, he doesn't have... It's not like he has one crazy standout body part. It used to kind of be his back, and then when he did his front double, was a real impressive shot. But now he's not quite at the level he used to be. It's almost like, yeah, he gets lost there and, you know, not best condition, not the biggest one. You know, kind of get overlooked. But, Scotty, do you know who... we actually saw Tony Doherty over there. He was... I don't know if he was emceeing over there. I saw him doing some interviews, actually, for NPC News Online. But we saw him over there. We saw, obviously, Chris Smith was over there supporting Renee in the pro figure lineup. And they actually got to mingle and train a bit with, you know, like Jay Cutler and Dexter Jackson and all that stuff. So have you spoke to Tony at all about that?
No, I haven't spoken to Tony since he left. So I'm looking forward to him getting back. I'm sure he's going to have some awesome stories for us. But now I've just been following his adventures on Instagram and Facebook like the rest of us. So, I think he's absolutely living the dream out there at the moment. Yeah,
did he MC the show?
He did, yes. He did apparently MC the Pittsburgh Pro.
Two pretty big MCGing. Jesus Christ, I've got my mind on footy at the moment. Two big MC jobs 2 weeks in a row, so...
If you didn't, it was your buddy Hungry Hato that told me you did.
Okay, it's his fault, man. If he's wrong. But no, obviously, yeah, like, he's obviously wearing two hats over there. He's interviewing for NPC News Online and doing MC work, so...
I'm just a little concerned because now I'm seeing Bob Chicarello at the party.
Okay, so maybe he did prejudge you or something. Or maybe he was just interviewing.
Maybe Bob just introduced the guest poses because I've got that video going on in the background.
Okay, nice. But it looks like Tony obviously had a killer time. And I was going to get him on the radio show for this episode, but literally I know he's actually going over to Pittsburgh straight after the Arnold Brazil. But anytime. I mean, Amanda Doherty's obviously competing in only like what, 1.5, 2 weeks time, and she's kind of got to like hold down the fort and stuff at home with the kids and everything.
Yeah, well, Tony's going to be back, I guess, this week, but he's only going to be back for about a week or, you know, 5 or 6 days, and then he's off to Body Power to support Amanda and do some work over there as well.
It never stops for Tony, does it? Never stops. But that's pretty incredible. But, Scotty, on that note, we're going to head to a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes for your Ask Scotty segment in Bodybuilding Yes or No.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Scott Goble, and we are here for his weekly segments, The Bodybuilding Yes or No and Ask Scotty. Scott, we're going to start with The Bodybuilding Yes or No. Are you ready? Okay.
I am ready. Is,
will we see a Mr. Olympia that will beat the 2000, that would beat the 2003 Ronnie Coleman in the next 10 years?
Inevitably we will see them come along. It's going to have to be one hell of a freak. I don't know if Rami's got it in him to ever show that level of detail. I don't think we've seen the bodybuilder that can do that yet. I don't think Phil Heath has the structure to be able to do that, no matter how much muscle he piles on.
What about Compton?
I don't think Justin Compton will ever be comparable in size to Ronnie. But then again, he could have a more cartoonish body with if he keeps his waist in really tight. No, I don't think in the next 10 years. Nah. I hope so,
It kind of makes you think and appreciate how good Ronnie was when you look back now, because that was 11 years ago, which is pretty hard to believe, that 2003 Mr. Olympia. And I don't think anyone's come close since. So the next 10 years is obviously not, you know, it's obviously a fair way away, but, you know, we would have to see someone just burst onto the scene, I think, because, you know, you don't just gain... a crazy amount of muscle in 10 years unless you're Phil Heath or basically, you know, Ronnie Coleman. So, next question. Will we see William Bonac place top 10 in the 2000 Olympia after his 7th place finish at Mount of Brazil?
Isn't Tommy a funny thing? After the Aussie Pro Show, I would have said yes. Absolutely lock the top 10, potential top 6. Now, after just one show, I don't know. It's hard to believe that he could be beat by Tony Freeman and Marius Donne and guys like this, and then be top 10 at the Olympia. He wasn't that far off. He's going to have to be in amazing 100% condition. He can't be in anything less. He has to be as good as the Aussie show or better in order for that to happen, I guess. And look, I guess his structure and his height, I'm going to say no now. But yeah, had you asked me that a couple of weeks ago, I would have said yes.
I was kind of thinking about it a bit because Dave Palumbo mentioned on Heavy Muscle Radio that he did an interview with William backstage at the Arnold Brazil, and I think he chose not to put it up because I think just William's got too like emotional and stuff because, you know, obviously after, you know, challenging Sean Roden for the win in Australia and then coming in 7th at Arnold Brazil, and people were touting him as being a top 6 Olympian this year and stuff, and he plays 7th in a show like the Arnold Brazil. Obviously a good show, but that's got to be a massive hit, and it maybe kind of just made him think, you know, do I have what it takes to actually get where I want to be in the sport of bodybuilding? But, you know, I think if he does bring that really sharp conditioning and looks like he does did in Australia, then I think he's a massive chance to still place top 10. I think he probably will, so, but we'll have to wait and see. But Scotty, let's move on to your Ask Scotty segment. Which bodybuilder from current day and also one from years past, in your opinion, had the best aesthetics?
Okay, current day, let's see, I'm trying to scan the Olympia lineup, you know, those top guys, Dexter, Roden, Wolf, but he's got no calves, I don't know who'd be the most aesthetic out of the top 10 of the current Olympia. You'd probably have to go at Compton or something. At the moment, who has some of the best aesthetics. I'm just trying to think. I'd really like De La Rosa's shape as well when he hits some poses. I think he's pretty amazing. But then Compton had him covered. So, yeah, I think it's Justin Compton. Of the past year, you can't go past Flex Wheeler.
Yep.
Flex Wheeler was just the man.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's like you said, he's pretty hard to go past. I was kind of thinking, like, I didn't even think of Flex. When I was thinking, like, Bob Paris and stuff like that. Like, I didn't even think of Flex Wheeler. I think I was thinking a bit further back. But, yeah, obviously Flex Wheeler is, you know, the guy who's just, you know, had an amazing structure. So, good answer there, Scotty. Next question. What's your thought process while doing deadlifts? Like, what are you concentrating on? Are you concentrating on squeezing your glutes at the top, squeezing your back? What's the whole thought process while you do deadlifts?
That's funny. I actually put up a Facebook status today about what I was thinking about while I was doing deadlifts.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And it's probably kind of disturbing because I think about... you know, people with knives to my girlfriend's throat and, you know, a gang of people sort of bearing down on us and the inner rage after someone to just absolutely physically destroy them. And then I lift the weight. So I think crazy fucked up life or death shit. And then all I think is tight back lift. Yeah. That's it. If it's heavy, if I'm going for heavy, if I'm going for, you know, reps or something like that, I might be thinking about something more, thinking about engaging glutes or something like that. But if I'm lifting heavy, yeah, I'm just thinking angry thoughts. And all I think is tighten your back and just wrench it off the floor.
Yeah, I actually went through a stage like where at the moment I'm kind of deadlifting, trying to correct my form a bit more and stuff like that. But when I was trying to deadlift heavy, I was actually thinking things like, it was after I watched a few Bros versus Pros on RX Muscle, where you had to do the deadlift challenge where they'd have, you know, I think it was like about, I think it was about 180 kilos on the bar, but I think it was 400 pounds I was doing. And these guys were like repping out a crazy amount of reps and thinking how crazy that kind of is. And I'd put a weight on the bar and it wouldn't even be 180. And I'm like, shit, well, if these guys are getting reps in the 20s or even in the 30s, you know, what's it to me to do, you know, like 15 or whatever. And I just kind of imagined like I was almost in that contest, like I was actually competing.
Yeah,
I did that, and it kind of just like it's amazing what you're just thinking of it in a different way can actually do to how many reps you get out and how hard you can push yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I've watched videos of guys banging out 405 for 20 and stuff like that. And if you watch someone effortlessly lift a weight, it does. It changes your perception of how that weight should move and how you should move it, and it. Yeah, I agree. It does make a difference doing that. And yeah, I think it was that Mark Lurch guy who was pulling it for like 38 or 39, 405.
Yeah, it's insane. It absolutely blows my mind. I don't know if they lessened the weight below 400 pounds or what they did, but I remember there was someone that got 40-something. So I don't know if that was a lesser weight, if it was 305 or if it was still 405, but yeah.
I think it was that Mark Lurch guy. I think he beat Poundstone once.
Yeah, he did. He's an absolute freak. And he packs a fair bit of muscle too, so be interesting to see him if he competed or something like that. But Poundstone's an absolute freak, so it's you got to take a lot to actually beat someone like that, you know. One of the world's strongest men, or one of the world's top strongmen. Next question, Scotty. Out of the current crop of Australian bodybuilders, about 25 and under, who do you think has the most potential to do well as an IFBB pro?
Ooh, 25 and under.
We just had, I don't know if you know, but we're just about to have Sam Pierce on the radio show after this break, who's one of those ones. Yeah. So I don't want to sway your thoughts, but yeah.
Hey, you didn't have to mention him. It was him and Sonny were the first two guys I thought of. It's probably out of those guys. Sam's deceptive. When you see him, the pictures he posts online, he sort of looks good, but in person he looks really, really good.
Yeah, because he's a taller guy, so he told me he's about 116 kilo, and from pictures I've seen, he's pretty lean.
Yeah, now I saw him at Phylex. I was briefly on the Sting booth, and he was on the BSM booth, and I didn't even recognize him because he was off season. He was a hell of a lot bigger than I thought he'd be, and I was looking at him going, who's that dude? Is he an American sponsored athlete? Is he some like NPC up and coming champion that's, you know, about to turn pro? And I was like trying to figure it out because he looked really, really good. And then he came over and said g'day, and I was like, sorry man, who are you? Because we've talked online a few times. I'm like, oh, I really rate Sam, he's a good dude. And and I was like, oh fuck, I didn't even recognize you. Look, 10 times bigger than I thought you would. So yeah, he's really good, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he won the super heavyweight IFBB Australia's this year.
Yep.
So it's, he's got to be one of them. Sonny's still a freak. I don't care if Sonny missed his conditioning by just a fraction. He's still an absolute freak. And when he gets that figured out, he's got the shape and the cartoonish proportions of a pro. Marco Georgic, who came, I think, third in the IFBB Junior Nationals last year, he has a Bob Parris-like physique. And he's the sort of guy that diets for 3 weeks to get in condition. The only thing I've heard about Marco, and I don't know if this is true, Marco, it's secondhand information if you do hear this, is that maybe he's not as dedicated as some of the other guys because it comes very easily to him. And that might just come in time. He might just find himself up against some tougher competition and lift his game. But apparently Marco just almost finds bodybuilding effortless in terms of putting on muscle and getting shredded, which is sometimes not always a great thing.
Yeah, obviously he came up against that competition in Mike Dawn and I think it was Mick Raderman that beat him out. So he came up against that, so maybe he'll kick his ass in the gear and really step it up next time.
Yeah, and look, Mike Dawn might be a 212 guy or something like that. Very, very mature muscle and great conditioning for someone his age. Steve Pantaris is a great junior. Look, man, I still come back to Sonny and Sam. I think Sonny is just the perfect height. I think he's just crazy, stupid proportions. He's strong. He's got the ability to just pile on muscle. Once he gets conditioning sorted, he'll be hard to beat in any lineup. I'm still going Sonny just over a fast finishing Sam.
Yeah, it's fair enough. And all those guys, I think you can even throw Aaron Pilates in the mix because I think he's right. I'm at 25. I think he's 25 at the moment, so. He's obviously one that has, I think, you know, good potential in that 212 as well, and he's got plenty of room to move in that division. So, yeah, we've got some good up-and-comers coming up, and I think it's good. Like, I spoke with Sam. I've already interviewed Sam, so I spoke with him in the interview about this, but I think these younger guys see now that there is potential to move, you know, now that obviously the pro qualifier is there at FedEx or now the Arnold Classic Australia, that there is potential to actually, you know, compete and work your way up as an amateur and get in that pro qualifier lineup and potentially turn pro one day. So I think now that guys can see that, it actually, you know, it probably drives them a bit more.
Yeah, I think the pro qualifier in, you know, 3 or 4 years' time is going to be a wild competition.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, Scotty, that is it for you this week, and we're going to head to a break. In 2 minutes, we'll be back with our interview a week with Sam Pierce.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by the winner of the 2013 Junior Southern Hemispheres and also the WFF Universe Junior winner, Sam Pearce. Sam, welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio.
Yeah, good to be here.
Mate, it's good to have you on the show. Now, you're one of the, I consider a few guys that are kind of up and coming in this sport now, and there's a lot of people that are big on you, especially people up in Queensland that, you know you and see you in the gym and all that stuff. Now, what's it kind of like being one of the up-and-comers now, someone that, you know, that people throw around your name when it talks to, you know, future pro qualifiers and things like that? I mean, what do people say directly to you, and is it all positive, or have you got some kind of negative stuff as well? Because normally you hear sometimes from even pro bodybuilders that are pros now, you hear them say stuff like, you know, there's a lot of people saying, you know, you're not going to do it, you're not going to turn pro and stuff, or is now that the fact that you've added a lot more muscle made it a lot more positive comments, I guess?
Yeah, that's a good one. I've never had a lot of negative feedback, or I don't know, I guess to my face anyway. A lot of people speak very positive. It's always good to have positive feedback. You know, it's good to hear people appreciating what you're doing, but you just got to remember as well that fine line of not letting it go to your head. A lot of people get carried away with positive feedback, and they can slacken off and go off their diet or go off their training or whatever. I think, you know, use that positive feedback as a good thing, but definitely don't rely on it.
So you never got any negativity when you were first getting into bodybuilding or anything, or was it all pretty positive from there as well?
For me, not really. I've always kind of kept to myself. I've kept bodybuilding as the hobby type of thing on the side. Always something that I've loved doing, so I've never really been in the scene so much where there could be negativity said to me. I reckon there's always been negativity said about me, but I haven't heard it personally myself, so I just get mostly like, you know, you're doing the right thing, keep on track, you know, you've got a big future, things like that. It's always good to hear that, so gives me motivation to keep going.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like a lot of guys that, you know, are juniors and even guys that are a bit older now as well, you see it a lot. But there's, with the internet and stuff, you see a lot of negativity, and you see like a lot of guys saying, oh, you know, see, you came in off. Like we saw it this year with your friend Sonny Ramkamuth, who competed and, you know, he didn't come in at his very best at FedEx while he has like, a massive future and he's a huge dude, especially for his age. There was people kind of jumping on him and saying stuff because they were posting photos of cheat meals and stuff that they were having. And, you know, 2 weeks out, he looked phenomenal, but he didn't quite nail it on the day. But there's people jumping on him about that and all those guys and stuff. And, I mean, you know, being a young dude in the sport and stuff, that obviously, it probably takes more of an impact on you at that age once you've, you know, especially when you're first getting that negative feedback, because a lot of people up until then, I suppose, have been probably pretty positive on Sonny. And do you think you'll be able to, I suppose, handle it when you start maybe, you know, competing with the IFB and you start to get in those pro qualifier type classes?
Yeah, the problem is, like, with young guys, I find, is you are very new to bodybuilding still. Like, you can do 2, 3, 4 shows, but you're still very new to it, and you're still trialing out a lot of things with your body. So, like, the example with Sonny is, like, I spoke to him, you know, he's a very, really close friend of mine, and there was a few things that he trialed, then obviously it didn't work for him. So, you know, people will tend to lash out at the things he was doing in the past, but it could just be a small mistake that he made coming into the show. I think young guys have to bounce back and say, you know, it's not maybe you weren't good enough or you're doing this or whatever. It's just those small mistakes you got to learn from, and that's where you can become a lot better. The problem is when you're a young guy, as I said, you're new to the show, so you haven't done it a lot where, like, say, an older competitor, they can try something new. If it doesn't work, it's not such a big shock for them to see if it didn't work.
Yeah, for sure. I totally get what you mean. And also the placings as well, like when you compete, it's sometimes hard, even when you see pictures, it's hard to get a reading on exactly how you looked. And sometimes if you place poorly, if you place out of the top three, or if you place, you know, you don't place where you think you perhaps could have, some of these shows are actually really close, and sometimes the placing will dictate where your head's at, I guess. So if you win and it was really close, you could have even placed fourth or fifth, you kind of think, okay, I'm ahead of these guys, then I'm going to be, you know, sometimes we'll let go too far and you'll get cocky about it. And then sometimes if you place fourth or whatever, you get almost discouraged, or fifth or whatever, and you get discouraged, and it might have been really close, so you could have almost been the winner. So I think sometimes like the placings play with your head as well, because sometimes you think it's more clear cut when you get placed somewhere, I think. So
yeah, that's right. It's also like never good as well to come into a show, you know, expecting to win, or obviously it comes back to that positivity. Like a lot of people give you positive comments saying, "Oh, you're going to win, and you're going to go in there, you're going to smash, and no one's going to come close to you." And then when you come out and you don't go as well as what you thought, obviously as far as the mental aspect, it's really going to crush you. So I think the best tip for that is to just keep doing what you're doing. You know, you can never be happy with yourself. I mean, I personally, that's why I did bodybuilding in the first place. I'm a perfectionist. So the thought of never being able to have the perfect body, is always there. So you're always trying to better yourself. You know, I'm never really going to be happy with myself. I'm just going to keep trying to bring in the best as I can. And, as I said, listen to those positive comments, but, you've got to stay on track and keep bettering yourself.
Yeah, so going into a show, like you obviously mentioned, you don't want to go in expecting to win. Do you go in with a mentality that you think you're going to win, or is it not so much with expectation, but do you think you're going to win?
Yeah, I mean, I go in to win. Like, obviously, every show, I'm really competitive with anything I do. So when I go in, like, I want to win the show. But I'll never come in cocky and say, I'm going to smash it, because... The good thing about bodybuilding as well, you never know who you're versing. Like, you can have an idea of like a competitor who's posting on Facebook and Instagram, but you know, there could be some guy training in a small gym in who knows where, and he can come out on stage and just blast everyone away. So it's never comparing to the people that you think you're going to compete against or whatever, because you never know what can happen. I think you got to come in with a mentality like you want to win. It's something you want. That's why you're training. That's why you're dieting for so long. That's why you're doing the cardio. That's why you're making it your lifestyle, because you want to win. You know, it's everything for you, but you can't go in cocky saying, I'm going to smash it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Now, you've made some awesome gains since you last competed, when you competed over, I think it was the Universe was your last comp. Now, you've made some awesome gains since then. You told me what weight, you just told me you're sitting around, what was it, 116, 118 or something like that. And I've seen photos and you're lean. You're lean at that weight, which is kind of, is pretty mind-blowing. You're obviously a little bit taller than some guys, but that's still very, very impressive. Now, what do you attribute to your gains? Is it a matter of consistency? Because normally the guys that you know, do kind of, you know, keep themselves a bit and just work away and stuff are the ones that are really consistent, and then all of a sudden they just come out and compete and blow people away. Do you think that's kind of been the main thing you attribute to your gains to?
Yeah, definitely. What I went back to in my off-season this year was going back to what I originally started training for, and that was just for the love of training and, you know, obviously wanting to get big. When I first finished my shows, when I started off my off-season, I tried, you know, do the dirty bulk and all that kind of stuff. And I did all that stuff, and I got up to like 122, and It was just uncomfortable for me, you know. Like it was just really uncomfortable. I still kept fairly lean. I mean, I wasn't like gross or anything, but yeah, it just felt very uncomfortable. So what I did, I kind of just went back to eating clean food. I just find it works better with my body, and then yeah, I just I got down to like I think 115 or something, and then from there, I'm sitting up around the 119 mark, and I've just kind of progressed, you know, from that original weight that I started at, just, you know, increasing my food, being a lot more strict on my diet, and it also allowed me as well to have more consistent cheat meals. So if I want to go with my parents or my friends or anything like that, I could go out, and you know, I still kept in good shape, so I feel a lot better. It's the strongest I've been. It's definitely the leanest I've been. Like, I compared myself to what I was last year, and when I was this lean on the, you know, the skin calipers, I was about 10 weeks out. So I put on some good size since last year, I think about 8 or 9 kilos. And yeah, it's just been more consistent in my off season, just following my diet more and being a little bit more strict. And it's always hard to do that in your off season, but it definitely pays off. It's the best thing I've done. Yeah.
And obviously you've stayed lean and stuff like that. Do you think this is the kind of a model for most people? Do you think, you know, obviously there's been stages that almost like the whole bodybuilding community goes through where it's like, you know, it seemed like about 5, 6, maybe, you know, 8 years ago, it was all about the dirty bulking and getting really big and just stuffing away as many calories as possible. And I bought into that, you know, I had people that were better than me telling me to do that. So I naturally did it. And now it seems like, you know, staying lean is more probably the way to go, that that's more of a recommended thing, you know, keep estrogen a little bit lower by having, you know, less fat gain, keep insulin resistance kind of at bay and stuff. Do you think there's going to be almost like another trend? Do you think there's going to be another way that people are going to go again, and people will say you need, you know, there's a study that comes out and says excess calories, you know, lead to X amount of muscle gains or something like that?
Yeah, well, that's what I did. Like, I found what happened for me in my prep last year, I actually grew into my show. I did everything right, and yeah, we actually, when I worked with John Davey, we managed to grow into my show. So I kind of use that same approach. I'm like, if it worked in my pre-season and I'm not getting anything out of this, you know, dirty set phase I'm doing now, I want to go back to that. So what I did was, instead of, you know, gradually tapering off your food in your pre-season, I just gradually increased it. So I'm sitting up around the 6,500 calories now, which is still a lot of food, insane. You know, for someone. Yeah. And it's to the point now where I'm eating it. It's hard to eat, but I'm hungry again half an hour after my meal. So, I think, you know, I'd be eating more than a lot of people would be in their dirty phase. So I think if you keep consistent with your food and you monitor it, and you just gradually increase it, you know, you still have that ability to stay lean, but you're still eating enough calories like a big off-season should be consuming, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. So obviously, like you said, you're eating a huge amount of calories, 6,500 is just, that's insane to most people. It's insane to what I'm eating at the moment. I'm trying to up my calories a bit, but they're nowhere near that yet. But what does your, like, pre, intro, and kind of post-workout nutrition look like? Because there's a lot of emphasis on that around that at the moment. It seems like it kind of went out for a while and people were doing a bit less in terms of the pre and intro stuff. But it seems it's kind of making a bit of a resurgence, I guess, with, like, guys like John Meadows and a fair few other guys. You know, Milos Sarchev has always been a big proponent of that. What do you do in terms of pre, intro, and post? Do you even do an intro or pre?
Yeah, I do. I actually have a lot. My main source of carbohydrates, I'd probably say like 60 to 70% would be around my training times and during my training times. So obviously I have my pre and post meal, and I'm having a lot of carbs in that. And then in my pre, during, and post shakes all up, I'm having about 250 grams of carbs in those shakes.
That's huge.
That's combined. So, yeah, I have a lot of my carbohydrates around that time. I think it's best utilized for me. I work well with carbohydrates as well. I can stay a lot leaner if I'm not too insulin sensitive. So, I try and have about 150 during my training. I have 100 post, and on the days where I'm a bit flat from work the night before, I might have 50 or 100 before I train as well. So, yeah.
That's absolutely insane. I mean, obviously, a fair few calories come from that, and that obviously comprises, you know, so many calories, but you've got to be eating still a lot to get up around that 6,500 calorie mark. Now, what's your future goals in terms of, you know, competing, in terms of not just this year, next year, but there onwards as well? I mean, I do know it's your future goal to become an IFBB pro, and that's the goal of, it seems like, a lot more Australians now, or young Australian bodybuilders now, than it was perhaps, you know, 5, 10 years ago, especially when there was no pro qualifier that was consistently there, like we have at FedEx now. Is your goal ultimately to turn pro?
Yeah, 100%.
Now, is there an age where you want to, you say, like, that's the age I want to be pro by, so you can kind of, you know, turn pro, keep developing, and then be a successful pro, hopefully?
Yeah, that's right. I have goals. 25 is my goal for both turning pro and finishing my degree at uni. So I like that number for me. I think it still gives me a lot of time to play around. I'm currently 22 now. I'm 23 this year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of time, but I like to have a long-term goal. And in the meantime, just keep completing my short-term goals that I've had set out for me. And so far, so good. Like, I've completed all my short-term goals, and I just want to keep completing them. And hopefully by the time I'm 25, I can finish that long-term goal and turn pro.
Do you think, like, obviously in America, and you know, especially in the early 90s in America, there was a lot of, or even Australia too, Lee Priest, but there's a lot of guys turning pro young, like especially in the 90s. And even now in America, like it's more of a rarity now, but you still will see guys turning pro around 25 and stuff like that, which you don't see much in, I suppose, European countries and things like that. We've got obviously Big Ramy, who's like, I mean, about 28 or 29 now. But you don't see it much in terms of, you know, outside of America, guys turning pro young. Do you think this is more because, you know, like back in the 90s, people were turning pro and it seemed like a realistic thing, and now there's obviously less of it, but it seems kind of less realistic, and we haven't seen it in Australia. Do you think guys almost like limit themselves and hold themselves back and say, you know, oh, maybe I'll be pro by 30 or maybe I'll be pro by 35, and then they just never kind of push themselves to get big?
I think actually Australia itself has become a lot more competitive in the bodybuilding industry. I think the standard now has got a lot higher, and I think that's the main thing. You know, guys won't turn pro now like 28 to 30 because, you know, we only do have one give out a year. We only give out one pro qualifier, and you know, each guy's got to work hard and obviously wait their turn. So, yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. This, we're just becoming more competitive in Australia.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, I've even seen it since the time I've been in the industry. You know, you kind of saw it and was like, occasionally, I think they had, you know, Con Dimitri turned pro at like the 2007 IFBB Nationals where he's awarded his pro card. But, you know, there was really no means to get, I mean, they had a couple of pro qualifiers intermittently, like, you know, it wasn't a consistent thing, but I think the consistency now of FIDEX, and then we know, obviously, it's going to be the Arnold Classic Australia next year, that it's going to be there every year. There's going to be pro cards given away every year now in 212 and the Open. I think it just opens up for more guys, like, you know, obviously yourself. You've got Aaron Pilates who can do it in the 212s, even Sonny that could maybe even do the 212s as well. That's obviously out for you, considering you're probably going to be on stage. Yeah. I mean, what do you think you're going to be on stage at, based on, you know, your current weight now, you know, condition?
I'm not too fast on my weight. Obviously, I want to compete in the super heavies. There's some guys that I've always looked up to that obviously now I'm big enough. I want to see how I go against them. So I want to be over 100, obviously. But last year I came in on stage about 103. And just comparing, like, I documented everything last year and my measurements for everything. And right now I'm predicting I should be coming on the stage about 110. So, you know, you never know what can happen, obviously. But just going from last year's results, that's a rough indication of what I think I'm probably going to come in. Yeah, 110 to 111.
That's exciting. So where will you be competing? Because that's kind of a question that people are going to want me to ask. Are you going to be competing on an IFB stage? Is it going to be continue to be NABBA, or where's it going to be for you?
I think it's time for me to move over to the IFBB. I had a lot of fun with NABBA, and they treated me really well and appreciate everything they did for me. But, you know, I've spoken to John, my coach, and we've been discussing it for a while, and we've kind of come with the decision that it's time to make the change and move forward. Yeah.
Where will you be on stage next? Is that going to be in October at the Nationals?
I'm going to look to do it won't be the super heavyweights of the state titles in Queensland, but I'll do the over 90s the Nationals, I'll be doing super heavies.
The over 90s, the biggest class they have at the Queensland titles? Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Squeeze under 100 for that one.
No, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Do you know anyone who you're going to be up against? Do you ever look at that kind of stuff, or do you just keep to yourself? I imagine you're one of the guys that more keeps to yourself in terms of, like, you know, focusing on your own look.
Yeah, I kind of just focus on myself, to be honest. Like, I know who's going to be there, but as I said, like, these are also the guys I kind of look up to, so obviously I do follow them. And it's pretty cool, you know, like I know I'm at that stage now where I can be competitive. And knowing that I'm going to be stepping up on stage against the guys I've been looking up to since I've started my bodybuilding, it's going to be pretty surreal, but it's going to be really exciting. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, if just say, like, you know, for whatever reason you weren't able to turn pro, or you didn't believe you could turn pro, or if, you know, competing as amateur was the only, you know, the only way you could actually compete in bodybuilding, for whatever reason, would you still compete? Because you seem very, like, driven by the pro card, and it seems like, I mean, it's kind of the thing that it's almost like an end result to the amateurs, and it's something to work toward for almost every bodybuilder in Australia. Like, is that something that, would you still compete if that wasn't an option?
Yeah, of course. For me, bodybuilding is my hobby. Like, I love it. Like, it's the one thing. Like, I don't drink, I don't party. Like, even though I work in the nightclubs, but yeah, I mean, I don't drink, I don't party, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. Like, that's my time out. That's my time to relax. I've got a pretty hectic lifestyle, but yeah, it's something I reckon I think I'm always going to do. Like, seeing self-progression in your body brings me a lot of motivation. And bodybuilding is the thing that got me into uni, you know. Like, I gave me the discipline to study and things like that. Like, I never tried hard at the school or anything like that. So I owe a lot to bodybuilding, and that's why I think I'm always going to keep it there and keep it there trained. I'm just taking it how it is, you know. I don't have a set plan. It's not like I have to turn pro by 25 or that's it, or I have to turn pro in general. I mean, I'm just a kid that just wants to be on the Olympia stage one day, and just that's the dream. That's the dream I always want to have, and that's what I'm going to fight for, and that's what I really want, being a competitive person. But, you know, I still have my life that I've got to look after as well. You know, like, I live out by myself out of home. I've got bills to pay. I've got a uni degree I've got to finish, and I work full-time at night. So I've got a lot of priorities, but, you know, bodybuilding is my favourite thing to do. I'm going to keep at it.
How many hours are you able to sleep at night? Because, like you said, you're doing uni, you're obviously doing bodybuilding, you're working at nights. Like, how many hours do you sleep? Because I know there's a lot of guys out there that get away with, you know, a very small amount of sleep, and myself, I have to sleep quite a bit. But how much do you kind of get a night?
I get, depends, but say, you know, some nights I'll get four, but on average, I'd probably say six.
I was going to say, hours. I don't know if you could get away with doing all that stuff if you're sleeping 8 or 9 hours a night.
I get to sleep in on Sundays. I get Sunday nights off and Sunday day, and I don't train Sunday, so I get like 8 or 9 hours sleep on a Sunday, and I go hang with my family. So that's my day off every week that I look forward to. And again, I think, you know, you do need a day or a time that you can dedicate that you can look forward to every week. So that way, when you finish the week, even though it was hell, it was all worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you picked up a very big sponsor recently, now BSN, which is, like, that's absolutely huge, because they're just a massive worldwide company. They sponsor, you know, obviously Flex Lewis, among, you know, many other athletes. I mean, how does that feel to be sponsored by such a big worldwide type company that, you know, used to sponsor Ronnie Coleman? You know, they're just a massive company. Like, how does that feel, and how did that kind of come about?
It was pretty surreal, like, when they approached me, because obviously when I first started training and getting into supplements, like, I went straight to BSN, because I'm like, you know, Ronnie Coleman, like, I saw him on the poster and stuff. So but, you know, I've always loved their products. I've always taken it, and it felt really cool, like, that a big company like that sees potential in me. That's the main thing for me. Like, seeing a big company like that to invest in someone like me, that gives me a lot of motivation to keep going and keep doing what I'm doing. Obviously, I'm on the right track, because everyone always asks themselves, you know, whatever you're in a sport or whatever it is, you're like, am I doing the right thing? So when they come to me and they say, you know, you're the man to do it, it really gives me a lot of motivation to keep with it. And I guess that's kind of why I've stepped, instead of doing the juniors this year, I've stepped up and gone to the over 100 kilo class, because, you know, when you got people like that, a company like that, sorry, that believes in you, it's the best motivation you can have.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great that you've got that backing as well, because obviously, you know, you're working your ass off at the moment, and you know, it sounds like you're just a constant hard worker in terms of bodybuilding, in terms of uni, in terms of, you know, working at night to, you know, pay for everything and stuff. And it's awesome that you got the backing of them, because, you know, that's going to probably help you get to more comps and all that type of stuff as well. So it's obviously just the free supplements and whatever. It's also all the backing as well with comps and all that stuff. So
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, Sam, we can't wait to see you up on that stage in October. It's going to be absolutely awesome. It sounds like it's going to be a good over 100 kilo class. So I'm sure everyone will be looking forward to that at the IFBB Nationals and obviously up there in Queensland as well. So, Sam, thank you once again for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. That's Sam Pearce, Universe Champion.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP, we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip. Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Michael Galley, and we are here to wrap up the show. Mick, you're once again on location in Thailand, and you are in the new shop.
I am, Xavier. I'm settled in. Still not. I mean, we're open for business, but still not complete. And it's doing my head in to get used to what they call over here Thailand time, and it means they take their sweet ass time. And if we rush them, they'll probably make a mistake. But shop's looking good. We've got to put the whole centerpiece in yet. Big screen telly's in. Computer's all up and running. Lounge is coming today. So it's looking good. And word of mouth has spread pretty quick on Samui. So we've had a lot of people come here. I don't know. You can sort of hear the music back. I'm on the shop next door to that Elite Gym and Fitness, and the gym's cranking. What is it here? It's 1:25 here at the moment in the afternoon, and the gym's absolutely pumping.
Yeah.
Good vibe. Absolute good fight. But the one thing, Xavier, I haven't had a haircut since I got here, and I look like a hippie.
Yeah, I remember when we was in Melbourne, you said, oh, I might get a haircut today. And I was like, when did you have your last haircut? And you're like, oh, about a week ago.
It's every week on the dot over here. Man, it's funny, over here you lose track of days and times. Like, I didn't even know it was Monday.
Really?
Yeah. Very interesting. But we've had some good bodybuilders over here at the moment training the gym. I met the Denmark Classic champion. He's been here the last 2 weeks, and I put a photo of him yesterday on my Facebook page. He just won the comp, and he's just come over here to relax with his girlfriend. So yeah, it's good meeting all these people from around the world.
Awesome. But obviously people could go there, you know, because obviously the laws and stuff in Thailand and all that, and because it's obviously so cheap as well. It's not like it's a big deal to go there. and stuff. But do you see, like, I mean, do you see many Thai people that are actually into bodybuilding? Because, I mean, from what I've heard, you don't really, they're not really into it.
No, not many at all. Funny enough, though, where I'm at here, at the gym next door, there's more Thais here training than I've seen anywhere else in Thailand. Still not a great deal, but they've got a couple of personal trainers in there, and one's Thai. He's a really good personal trainer. I've seen him in there a few times training people. And so he's making some good cash here at the moment. Because this gym here, most of the expats train there, most of the holiday makers from around the world are training there. It's a really hardcore, nice gym. So they're sort of, they do charge a bit to PT, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. Are you going to do any PT stuff while you're there, or are you pretty busy with all?
Yeah, I will, mate. Yeah, the owners, Sebastian and Nico, and they're both competitors themselves from Sweden, both big guys. They've said, you know, like, I'm doing a lot of hours here at the shop to start with to really to get it cranking. So if there's spare time in the mornings and anyone inquires, I said, yeah, definitely pass on my details, and I'll try and do one or two sessions a day if I can.
That's awesome. So you definitely set up over there. I mean, you got very little in terms of expenses and stuff like that. But I saw a picture of you and Laura go up, and you were having some drinks again. You said it's a bit hard to pass up at the price. But have you been getting into it a bit too much?
I had to quit that a bit. Well, the thing is, when I'm doing some long hour days, Avery, and the shops here, we're going to start at 8:30 at 9 at night, the same time as the gym, because there's just too many people coming in at those late times. So when we got here and we knew the shop wouldn't open on time, it's hard for Laura because, and I've noticed, like, I'm a little bit homesick too, but she's really homesick with her mum.
Yep.
So those first 5 days here on Samui, I spent as much time with her as I could. And, you know, we did all the tourist things and bars and stuff. And I just, yeah, it was sort of my way of just trying to spend as much quality time with her as possible. And I mean, she loves a drink too. So when we found cocktails for, like, you know, $3, that sort of, yeah, it was some happy days there. But, yeah, it's just one of those things, mate, yeah, because as it is now, I'm going to work. We're only going to close Sundays, and we're going to stay open Monday to Saturday, and I'll put in 10-hour days for now and just try and get the shop to a real good level.
Yeah, that's massive. We actually don't have a huge amount to talk about this episode, really. We've got, like, you know, obviously, there was a few things on over the weekend. We had the guest posing at the Pittsburgh Pro over there in, obviously, in Pittsburgh, New York. I mean, Pittsburgh, America, sorry. Yeah, I actually just saw a picture. I was kind of searching the content and stuff, and I don't know if you've seen it, Mick, but there's that there's a thread on I think it's on one of these forums. It's on about Victor Richards, and obviously Victor Richards was known as kind of, I don't know if he ever competed or if he only competed as an amateur or what the deal was, but
he won the Nigeria. I'm pretty sure it was Nigeria National Championships, which everyone thought was a joke because he was eligible to do the NPC Nationals, American Nationals. He won that in the early 90s, received his pro card. Now, Xavier, if you can ever find a photo, and I haven't seen one for ages, it was in a mag, imagine Victor Richards at his peak in the Nigerian Championships and picture the guys he would have been up against. We're talking guys that wouldn't have won Mr. Wagga Wagga or something like that. It was, and he copped a bad rap for that because everyone was like, well, why didn't you come over to the States and try and earn your pro card? But he never competed as a pro. He was an enigma. He just always, it's not about competing, it's about the training and the love of training and stuff like that. And I saw Victor Gespos in Australia back in, it could have been 90, oh man, this one's escaping, 93, 94. And he was one of the thickest guys I've ever seen, mate.
Yeah, there's actually a picture I'm looking at the moment. It's Victor Richards in 1993. And it says Virgil pose down. And he's right next to Ronnie Coleman. And it's pretty interesting. I mean, like, it's the pictures are obviously, like, you know, scaled to their height and stuff. I think Victor was slightly shorter than Ronnie. But, I mean, man, he is impressive. Like, his arms look maybe not quite as big as Ronnie's because, you know, Victor isn't quite in the condition Ronnie's in. But he's still in you know, decent condition. And, you know, he's packed some crazy size. And he's got... It looks like he's got bigger legs than Roddy and slightly, you know, a lot bigger calves. So,
yeah, he's got slabs of muscle, I mean, doesn't it? Like, just slabs. It's incredible. There's not too many guys that have just blown me away where you look at him going, that's just freaky, like freaky big.
Now,
so massive. But
I don't think I sent this picture to you, but I sent it to Scott the other day. I don't know why I didn't send it to you. But there's a picture of, I don't know if you know Akeem Williams. He won his pro card. Just last year, I think he won the North Americans overall. And he's prepped by Dave Palumbo. And he's one of these guys, one of these African-American dudes that has just added slabs of muscle, like, crazy. Like, year to year, he's one of those guys that adds 10 kilos of muscle, you know what I mean? And he's competed, and then the year before, I think he was slightly off his condition, and he kind of got it right last year and beat out, you know, not the strongest of, you know, pro qualifying shows in America, but he won it, you know, quite easily. Now, there's pictures of him kind of come out about, you know, a week or two ago where he's guest posing, and he just reminded me of Victor Richards in terms of his thickness. Yeah. Like, his chest looked like it couldn't have gotten any bigger. Like, it looked like it was poking out like crazy. He was 3 weeks out of what I think was the Dallas Europa, where he's going to be competing, which is just a week away now, which we don't actually have a competitive list for because they haven't released one, which is kind of annoying. But, Mick, you've got to... When you get off this radio show, I'll send you a picture of Akeem Williams, and he's scary. Like, the amount of muscle he's added every year, and he's still gaining, is just insane. So we might see the future kind of competing Victor Richards.
The new Victor Richards, eh?
Yeah, except he'll be competing, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I still have no idea why Victor chose not to, but anyway, what do you do? Speaking of that Pittsburgh show, and this happens every year, Jim Mannion's show, he brings out the top 6, 7, 8 guys and gets them to guest pose, which I think is awesome for the audience. But, mate, they all seem in pretty good nick, didn't they? For April, for start of May.
Yeah, they all, I mean, Scotty and I made the comment, a lot of them looked quite watery, not necessarily fat. So, like, Kai Green was in very good shape. The concern for me was Big Ramy. He's competing in 2 weeks' time. I mean,
is he definitely in?
Yeah, he's in the New York Pro from what I've heard. So if he's 2 weeks out, I mean, that looked almost a little bit worrisome to me.
Yeah. I heard I thought he may have pulled out for some reason, but if he's in it, yeah, that's a bit of a worry.
Yeah. So maybe he has pulled out. I don't know. Maybe they're just kind of keeping it a bit. I mean, did you hear officially that he pulled out from anywhere or?
No. There was a couple of threads going up, a few things said on there, but I haven't heard anything official, but. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when he gets those. I thought, oh, he's not doing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe we'll see something come out, but he isn't competing, and it's just been kind of kept quiet just for the sake of a show in terms of numbers and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, like almost like when Jay was going to do the Olympia the year before, he kind of did it just recently. And, you know, oh, maybe I'll do it kind of thing and stuff like that. And then everyone knew he was going to pull out. That's what people, I suppose, thought he's going to pull out last year, but... he went on to do it, but it might be something like that. But I mean, hopefully he does do it and he can pull it together. But I mean, he's definitely not looking 2 weeks out. But maybe, I mean, I remember seeing actually Dennis Wolf compete. When was it? Probably about 2 years ago. I think he's in one of the smaller shows, and I saw pictures of him a week out guest posing. And normally you don't see guys guest posing a week out. And I was like, holy crap, Dennis is going to be off. And I kind of predicted him to come like, you know, fifth or something. And I can't remember what show it was. If it was a New York or what it was, but somewhere around then, and he actually pulled it together in 1 week, and I don't know if he won or got second or what he got, but it was just incredible, the week-to-week transformation. He looked, to be honest, he looked about 6 weeks out, in photos a week out, so.
I don't think Ramy can do that, the same thing, and he still hasn't come in 100% sharp yet.
Yeah.
And if he's off now 2 weeks out, and he is competing, I don't think he can pull a miracle. And, I mean, nothing against Dennis. Dennis has got a lot of good athletes. And he, you know, he's put himself in condition a few times, but his strike rate still isn't the best, is it? On the day, I mean, leading into the comp, but on the day, something goes wrong somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the gurus that are out there now, perhaps he doesn't have that last minute prep nailed down, and it almost like kind of reflects his bodybuilding career, because he was always the Mr. Olympia in the gym, you know, 2 weeks out and stuff. When he got on stage, it seemed to kind of all fall apart. I don't know if it's a psyche thing in terms of it was a stress-related thing, and once you muck up a few times, then maybe it does your head in and you kind of almost set yourself up to fail in terms of conditioning and things like that. But, you know, obviously later in Dennis's career, he kind of did seem to really bring it in. While he wasn't at his best in terms of size and stuff like that, he did seem to kind of nail his condition the last few years.
Yeah. What do they call that? You know, the golfers where they're playing unreal for years and then all of a sudden... they get that little... every time they hit the ball, it just doesn't go where they want it. What do they call it? It's a funny name.
I'm not sure.
Fuck, I thought you would have known. I don't know why I thought you would have known, but I thought... It's not the gip or the yip or something like that. I don't know. I might be way off base here, but anyway. We need to come up with a thinning body. Yeah.
Is that it?
The yips. Let's just call it the yips. I don't know. That's good to me. You've got the yips.
So Dennis James
anyone who looks unreal and they fucks up on the day will say they've had the yip.
Yeah. I've had
the yip about 20 times. Jesus Christ, what am I talking about? I've got Gally the yip.
Every time
I'm going to change my Facebook name to Michael Gally Yip.
Oh, dear. I wouldn't recommend it. People just think you're insane or something. But
oh, a few people do. Hey, you know what I'm looking at here in the shop? Oh, this is interesting. We've got all characters from around the world coming. Already, we're only about in 3 days. Thailand, I mean, most people here are probably fucking people escaping the law, to be honest with you. But a guy has come in, and he's just come from Vegas, and they're legit. He's brought us legit dices. Los Fardin at Vegas, whether or not he bought it from one of those little op shops you walk into, I don't know. But I'm going to go with the fact that he's bought them from the casino. As you can do, they do cost quite a bit of money to do that. And he's brought them in here for good luck for the opening of the shop. How nice is that?
That's pretty nice, yeah.
That was just random. I'm just... Yeah, do you want me to throw one for you?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got two dice. What do you want?
what number do you think you'll get?
I don't know. Give me a number.
Six.
I swear to God. I fucking swear to God it was 2 threes.
Are you serious?
What do I win? You win a Cytec 2-pound tub of protein, your flavour choice. I'll send it out. There you go. No, I swear to God, that came up 2 threes.
That's insane.
I wish I had someone in the shop here with me to verify that.
You know what? I was thinking you'd do that anyway, so I'm not sure if to believe you or not. But
no, I'm sorry. It's fucking me to come up six, Xavier. I know I joke a lot and I tell porky pies, but that actually came up six.
Yeah, we'll have to go gambling one time, Mick.
Oh, geez.
Have you gambled much?
Oh, I used to have a massive gambling problem.
Oh, really?
I won't say that. No, I used to love it, especially... I used to do it a fair bit in Vegas, but I ended up just losing all my spending money. It was just ridiculous. But, no, I don't mind a bit of a gamble on roulette or something like that.
Yeah. Do you ever gamble on sports?
I'm not an Aaron Pilates, if that's what you're asking.
That's where I was going.
Now and then, I don't know much about horses or anything like that, but... now and then, if I'm with my mates and, you know, we're going past TAB, they'll put bets on and I'll put bets on with them. But I will tell you about a funny experience I had. It was the 2009 Mr. Olympia, and I'd gone over there with Matty Reese, Simon Reese's brother. Now, we'd done all our business and work for ASN and what we needed to get done, and we're in Caesar's, I remember it like it was yesterday, we're in Caesar's Palace, and Matt's going, come on, let's have a gamble. I'm like, nah, you know what, I'm not feeling it. And we went around a corner, and I kid you not, there were six roulette tables. And on these six roulette tables, the people, what do they call them, the dealers, they were all girls dressed in lingerie. Then I said, I looked at Matt and I said, that's it, we're stopping here. We won a fortune. I was on fire. I was absolutely on fire. And that ended up paying for all our drinking money for the next few nights. So
I imagine that was a lot of money.
I don't know what the lesson, maybe I should just gamble with his women. I don't know. But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, first of all, I ever went gambling at a casino, I actually won money. Not much, but I think I turned 20 to 90 or something like that. But yeah, it wasn't much, but yeah it's always nice when you win, but then...
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
If you win a few too many times, then you get a little too confident, and then you're not losing big, so...
Yeah. I've got a feeling Aaron's gambling career's over, by the way.
Yeah, no, he told me it slowed down.
Yeah. Oh, good man. Put his money into his career, bodybuilding.
Or he might have even told me it stopped. I can't even remember now. But yeah, I think he had a couple of losses and was like, "Nah, that's enough."
Yeah, we only ever hear about the wins, didn't we?
We did hear about wins. We didn't hear about. He did tell me about a few losses, and then he kind of said, "I stopped." So.
I think one of the main guys and the 18-year-old kid Stefan, who was actually like the bookie, he was getting, you know, he was right into it, and. I know he was making a lot of money, but then...
I think he won some money yesterday.
He did win again, did he?
I'm a wanderer. This is like A-League soccer. He said, I'm a wanderer's man, but he said, when 4 grand's on the line, I want Raw to win. So, and then they did win, so...
Jesus. Yeah, he's not... Well, I know he put a couple of big 10 grand bets on and he lost not long ago. So, I know. Fuck, how do you... I'd kill someone.
Yeah, I reckon I'd lose it too.
Man, I honestly feel bad if I lose $50. Like, I just feel bad. I'm like, you know what? That was just a waste. Imagine 10 grand.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm like as well. That's why, like, any betting I do is always, like, the stuff just on sports online and stuff. And I bet, you know, like, 10 here, 10 there, stuff like that. But for the most part, I've actually... Because I have all these deals on these betting websites. So for the most part, I've actually won more than I've lost. But, yeah, I mean, not, probably not by a huge amount or anything because I'm not betting, you know... 200, 300 and stuff like that. But yeah, I can't imagine just putting 500 or a grand on a sports event and then just watching it. Like, I would just be a wreck. Like...
Yeah. Holly wouldn't be too happy either.
Nah. Well, actually, I lie. I actually put on one of these websites, it's basically said, okay, you sign up and you bet. If you sign up, if you put $500 in an account online, then you get a $500 free bet. But you have to bet that $500, right? So you get your $500 free bet. So I put that $500 free bet on my AFL team winning that weekend, and they won. So I won $450 on top of it. So I had $950 in my account then. But then they said to withdraw it, you have to bet the $500 you put in there. So you can bet it over several bets, but I end up escaping, turning that $500 all up. It turned into, I think, $850 or something. So that's all right.
All right, you come out ahead. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't promote gambling, do we, Mick?
No, we do not promote gambling on Aussie Muscle Radio. I don't know what Scott Goble says on his segment, but I know we don't. How is Scott, by the way? Those photos that's gone up. He did a couple of seminars with Matt Legg and Luke McNally and that. Jeez, he's looking big.
I know he is looking big. I haven't even talked to him.
That's massive.
Yeah, but
he did that seminar. I was shocked when I saw it.
Did you see the photo he put up of himself dribbling on a plane?
No, I didn't see that one.
It's hilarious. He put it up, I think, late last night because he's flying back. And he obviously just took it of himself. Like, he obviously did it. He's basically dribbling or whatever, and he made some. You know how Scott's real witty with his comments and stuff he puts on Facebook and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically just said something about sitting next to some woman and then dribbling on himself and stuff like that. And the photo he took, there's actual dribble going from his mouth and it's landing on his shirt. It's classic.
I'll have to have a look after this. That's awesome. I love his sense of humour. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Except when he's targeting me or us or whatever and giving us uppercuts.
Yeah, then it's just untasteful. So
that's just weird. It's just wrong. I don't know. It's like, just leave us alone.
Yeah. Before we wrap up the show, I mean, there hasn't been a lot to talk about this week, but we always seem to have a good time and talk about just...
We always seem to manage to talk about something. Yeah. Oh, can I tell you, you know my favourite drink is Pepsi Max, right? Absolutely love it. And I always said this, at backstage of your comp when you're dehydrated, I'd love nothing more than to jump in a pool of Pepsi Max so you could swim and drink at the same time.
I'm a purple Powerade man.
Yeah, well, you would be. Mate, Pepsi Max over here for a can is 11 baht. 11 baht. 100 baht is $3, so 11 baht is nothing. Can you believe that?
So it's like, what, 30 cents?
Yeah, I'm in heaven.
It's very cheap.
I am in heaven. And the gym next door, they're just about to open up. These guys are loaded. They're just about to... There's one in Phuket called Muscle Bar. It's not going to be the same thing, but they're opening up a restaurant in 2 weeks catered purely for all the... There's a lot of fighters here as well. So just catered to all athletes. Oh, really healthy, clean food. So I'm pumped for this, mate. It's going to be good.
Awesome. How much are those meals going to be?
I think they're going to keep them pretty cheap, around 150 baht, which isn't much, mate. I found a couple of good places here to eat. There's a lady down the road. She does up boiled chicken and rice for me. Now, it's a dodgy-looking place, but I've been told no one's ever got sick there yet, none of the boys. And she does double chicken, so two chicken breasts and rice for 60 baht.
Holy crap. So what's that? That's $2?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, mate. Absolutely ridiculous. So, I don't know how they do it, but anyway. So, I get a couple of meals.
You can't even cook it for that much. You can't even buy it, cook it, and all that.
I think there's a place called, what's the name of it? Westco, I think, which is very similar to Costco. And you can buy a kilo of chicken in there for, I think it's around $2, $2.50.
That's insane.
It's insane. Even things like microwave tellies, like this, I don't know, it's definitely cheaper. But upon saying that too, at the end of the day, I'm still living in a third world country, so it's still, you're still in dirty streets and stuff like that, but I guess it's a change.
Yeah, there's a trade-off there, but it's obviously a third world country and stuff like that, it's got to be pretty cool though. There's a lot of obviously good features to it.
Yeah, I won't lie to you. Like, I've come to Thailand before 4 or 5 weeks at a time, and it hasn't fazed me. But now I know I'm actually living here. Like, the homesickness is starting to kick in a little bit. Like, I miss my family, miss you boys and stuff. Like, I suppose we talk on Skype all the time, but just miss the general catching up with the guys already. So I guess it'll just be a transition for the next few weeks, getting used to it. But at the end of the day, too, Xavier, this is such a good opportunity just to live in another country and just... You know, the guys next door in the gym are unreal. They're really good guys, and there's Russians there, Norwegians, Swedish. So it's just good being around all different people from around the world. Some are really good bodybuilders. Everyone's got their own take on things, but we all talk about the same stuff, you know, the dieting, the subs, the competitions that are on. So that it's cool to get everyone's take on stuff like that.
Exactly. And it's not like, obviously, you haven't got your same mates back here, but you got mates over there. And obviously, you know, the more time you spend around people, the closer bond you kind of build, I guess. But I had the same sort of thing when I moved over to Perth. Obviously, I had Holly and her family, but it was like, you know, none of my mates were there. And also the time difference as well, because when I first moved over, I think it was 3 hours difference. So it was like, I'd go to call my mates, I'd finish at the gym, it'd be, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever. You know, normally the time I'd probably call my mates, and it's 10 o'clock over there, half from asleep. It's like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I forgot. Yeah, see, you know exactly what I mean. Yeah, Perth's a massive move as well. So it's, yeah, one of those things. But anyway, it's all good.
You kind of get used to it and kind of get in your groove, I guess. Like, you know, it takes a little bit, but at first, it's especially if things aren't going right or something goes wrong, and that's especially when the time you want people around as well.
I just want this shot complete. Like, I'm that sort of person. When I got here, I expected everything to be done. And so did the owners of PPN. They were a little bit upset too when they got here. But they've tried, and I've noticed this in quite a bit of stuff I've done around here. And I didn't take much notice of it when I was here on holidays. But when you live here, they're right. Everything just goes on their time. And if you don't adjust to their way of living, you'll just get frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. But, mate, I'm looking forward to coming over there and visiting you. Hopefully in the next kind of 3 or 4 months, I'll be able to make a trip over and get some very good content for the website as well.
Yes. So, yeah, absolutely. Spit in that gym and, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some more video stuff and all that kind of stuff coming out. So we'll be able to get some very, very good content and stuff of all that kind of stuff and put it all up on YouTube and all that stuff. So, Mick, it's been a different radio show, but it's been a good radio show. We're going to be doing this, obviously, every week still. And, yeah, that's it for another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. Obviously, I want to thank the sponsors before we go, though. I want to thank, obviously, ATP Science, 2 Minutes with a Scientist. I'm not sure if it's on this episode or not. I'll have to, obviously, edit it up and check to see if I'm putting that in there. I think it will be. My Muscle Chef, the orders close midnight at Tuesday night for the weekend's orders. We've got bulknutrients.com.au. Check out their website. Some great products on there. International Protein, Christine Enville and Troy Bremner, obviously from there. And obviously Christine's not she's competing quite soon, so she's going to do that Toronto Pro Show. Mass Nutrition, 40 stores around Australia and New Zealand. And of course, Species Nutrition, the main sponsor of Aussie Muscle Radio. So Mick, that is it for, I think, episode number 105 or so. And for Michael Galley and Xavier Wills, and remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.